Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, everyone. And welcome to Grace Chapel. Praise the Lord. Let us worship and praise Him. Amen.
Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Praise you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for this day and for bringing all of us together out here to hear and learn of you. And Father, this is, everybody's out here because we're having a minister's convention. And in order for us to go forward, we know that we need to be changed. We need to be transformed by thy love and by thy power. And I just pray, Lord, that you would work with each and every one of us who are here and those that are listening from afield. And Lord, that you'd help each of us to humble ourselves to receive that correction, that we may go forward in that oneness that you have for us and have promised to us in your word. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Y'all sit down. If you're already not sitting down. Well, it's Sunday morning. Tonight we start our first meeting for the convention. What I'd like you to do between now and tonight is get in a closet somewhere, get in a place alone, and make a decision. Such a very simple decision. You're not going to be the same tomorrow as you are today. The old life that you've been running around in is gone. It's over with. You're going to move forward. If you're in sickness, you're going to walk in health. If you're in fear, you're going to walk with no more fear. If you're in doubt, you're going to walk in faith. If you're in rebellion, you're going to get rid of it and walk in humility. Because God calls you and me and everyone to be His ministers. Jesus told the disciples, go out and make disciples of all nations. Go out teaching all nations. Teaching is what? To make a disciple. A disciple is one who is in training to go forth in the God, in the ministry, in one of the fivefold ministries. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Nowhere is there a pew warmer. If you're satisfied with being a pew warmer, find another ministry to belong to. Because it's not going to fly in this ministry. This ministry is about bringing people to that place where God wants them to do what God wants them to do. And in order to do that, we have to know nothing. We can't be know-it-alls anymore. We have to assume God knows more than we do. I know that's a big stretch for some of you, but you have to believe that God is smarter than we are. And he knows better than we do. Amen? So let's enjoy the service today. Let's enjoy the music. And let's go forward this week with a new attitude. With a new purpose. Amen? Now, I've walked in hospital rooms. And people laying there dying got up and were healed. I've seen God move in tremendous ways. And I'm not special. I'm anything but special. And if you all would find the little secret that I found, and live by it, every one of you could do the same thing. Every one of you. Because if you are ambassadors for Christ, and you're going to show forth him to the world, let's do it without flapping the tater traps so much, and show it in power. Paul said, when I came not with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the word of God, but in demonstration and power. And that's what discipleship and ministering in Christ is all about. Amen. Amen.
Tonight, you can turn the dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost and turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a hunger. A soul that was lost, turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a hunger.
Praise God. My prayer this week is that every one of us take this song to heart. Open your eyes. He's in front of you. He's always in front of you, each and every day. If you'll take the time and focus on the Lord. Jesus is there. There are things out there that don't want you to put your focus on Him. There are things out there that will steal your focus. And it can be anything. It can be a loved one. It can be a child. It can be a friend. It can be a coworker. It can be a person that's your boss, wherever you might work. It could be your father. It could be your mother. But Jesus is there. And all you have to do is turn and focus on Him. And He will open your eyes. And that's one of the biggest things in this conference is that we have is to open your eyes. To show each and every person exactly what we need. And I include myself in that. Because I need lots. I need a whole lot. Most of the time. Morning, noon, and night. Is anybody else there with me? So we all need it. And we all know we need it. And we all need it constantly. Our focus has to be on Jesus. Our focus has to stay on Jesus. He is our provider. He gives us what we need and the tools to do His work. He loves you. He doesn't want to see anyone fail or fall aside. Remember, Jesus is there for you. If you open your eyes and focus on Him, He will soften that heart that can be hard. He can open your eyes so that you see things that you've never seen before, even though you've looked at them 100 times. You'll see people in a different light because He can open it up so that you know what's going on with them. He can open it up so you know what to put out to those people to assist them, to bring them to the point where you're at, and maybe beyond. We're not a limitation. We're a messenger, and that's our job. As Davey said, you don't always have to use words. But if you're focusing on Jesus Christ, you're going to see when somebody else might need a word. Might need some encouragement. Or might need just a little bit of harsh discipline. A word to bring them around. A word to correct them. A word to get the path straightened out. We all want to see Jesus. And in the day when we stand before Him, we all want for Him to say, "Enter in, good and faithful servant." But you have to make the commitment. I have to make the commitment. Each and every one of us have to make the commitment to open our eyes and put our focus on Jesus Christ. Are you willing to do that? I pray that you are.
I think you guys can give a better cheer than that.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
The reason for that hopefully will change this week. Because look, our God is an awesome God. Amen. He is an amazing God. And we want to see. We need to know that the world out here needs to see Jesus just in the exact same way that they saw him when he came to his own 2,000 years ago. No difference. No difference. That's where we are to leave this week. And everybody here, I think, can say and look and realize, well, that's not how I came here this week, which means something's got to give. Something's got to give. Because that is the promise of God. I mean, that is absolutely the promise of God. It's what enabled 11 guys and a scattered number of others who he appeared to after his resurrection to go forward and basically take a faith that was born in Jerusalem and in Israel and spread it all over the world. And it spread all over the world because when they went forth, they didn't see Paul. They didn't see Peter. They didn't see Stephen. They didn't see Philip. They saw God Almighty. When I say God Almighty, I mean the God that said, let there be light. And there was light. Is there any other God who can do that? And I share this with you because, see, that is the power that God wants each and every one of us to walk in. And most of us who've been here for a long time have known that for a long time. This is not a news flash. Oh my God, really? That's what he wants us to do? It's something we've known. But it has escaped us how to walk in it. And this week is about learning how to walk in it. And you're not going to be able to learn how to walk in it unless you do as Richard was saying, which is you come to the place where you realize you know nothing. And he knows better than you. Because then everything in your life is on the table. Nothing is removed. Nothing is removed. You're not hanging on to anything. You don't want to hang on to anything. You want to get shed of everything so that you can attain unto that goal. And that's what needs to happen with each and every one of us here this week. Need to make the decision that we're going to believe God, that we're going to prefer him above every one of one another, above our wives, above our children, above our husbands, above everybody. We are going to prefer him. We are going to do what he says, no matter how we feel about it. It does not matter. Wives think their husbands are jerks and they're being unfair and not being kind and a whole bunch of other things. Tough! He says to serve them as unto him. To give up your life to them. To be their helpmeet. And men, he didn't care about any of these things. Didn't care about your job, didn't care about any of that stuff. He cares about you. He cares about what you are going to do. Each and every day, are you going to serve him? Are you going to make manifest to those around you the Lord Jesus Christ and his power and his love and his grace and his mercy? Is that what you're going to be? Is that what you're going to be about in your workplace? Is that what you're going to be about in your households? Is that what you're going to be about in every aspect of your life? Because that's what it's going to take, folks. That's what we have to be about. We have to be about our Heavenly Father's business. And the other business that we've been about, we got to be willing to get rid of it. Lay it all down. Lay it all down. Now, something I remember from 25 years ago that Richard used to do, I think just about every time somebody new came in, and I was one of the newbies 25 years ago, so he happened to have done it, is he used to talk about a glass. I apologize. I thought of this while I was here, so I had to take my cup that I really like. And I hated to do this, but praise God. I went into the bathroom, filled it up with non-potable water. Is this cup full? It is. It is. I mean, I was in there trying to put more water in it. Couldn't get any more in there. You know why? It's full of paper towels. It's full of paper towels. Now, let's see, who can I pick on? Maggie, can you come here for me? And can you go into the bathroom and pull out all of those paper towels and bring it back to me? See, that cup represents our lives, represents us. We want to be filled with Jesus, right? And we have been. But we know that there's yet more that he has for us. And if we're going to get it, then we're going to have to let somebody like Maggie over here go and pull the paper towels out. In the past, when we have tried, people have fought us. People have fought us. And it hasn't gone well for you as you fought us. It's gone badly. And things have gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. Well, I'm done with that. I am not interested in worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, is it full? There's room for something, is there not? There's room for Jesus. See, God is a gentleman. He is a gentleman. He's not going to do anything contrary to your will. And those things that you cannot do, don't worry about it. Because our salvation and everything that God promises us, He promises them to us because He promises that He will do it. I want you to turn to John 12. We're going to go to verse 24. And in verse 24, it begins as follows. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, this which Jesus is speaking of, applied not only to him, but it applies to us. What are we to do? What's the one thing he asks us to do? Die unto ourselves. He asks us to die unto ourselves. He asks us to give up our life. To give it up. Every aspect of our life. Nothing held back. It's total. It is total and complete. And if you will lay down your life and give it up and ask Him to come into your life, inhabit it, and yield unto His love and His power, He will. What's that song you started with? Turn the dark into light. Take a heart day into night. I mean, night into day. What is it? Yeah. He can take a heart that was lost and turn it around. You have to make the decision right now, this week and today, because the meetings are going to begin this evening, that you don't want to hang on to any of that old stuff. You are willing and you are determined that you are going to go for it in that new life that is in Christ Jesus, who dwells at the right hand of God the Father. And if you will do so, you will dwell with Him. You will have boldness. You will have courage. You will not fear. You will walk in love. You will have grace. You will have mercy. And you will be victorious in Him. It does not mean that the world will love you. The opposite is the case. The exact opposite is the case. So if you think this is going to be a sweet, peaceful, easy feeling, quit now. But choose. What do you want? Do you want to be loved of God? Known of Him? Or do you want to be received of in the world? Which way do you want it? Because you can't have it both ways. And what happens is, the amazing thing is when you operate in that place, you become the best hope to the people around you. Now, don't hear me wrong. I don't mean to knock Jesus off his throne. That's not what I'm talking about here. When you are in Jesus, when you are walking in Jesus's love, not the Philios love that has plagued you and by which you have judged everything, but the true agape love of God. When you stand in that and you walk in his power and the words that you speak and the things that you do are ordained of him, then it is Jesus, which is their hope, standing before them in the form of a man or woman, which is you. And because you love them, even though they may hate you, you will stand for them. And because you choose to stand for them without compromise, you become their best hope that they might change their mind. That they might see that maybe it is they who are in the wrong and not God. But you cannot do that unless you die to yourself. And if you die to yourself, then you yield yourself to having everything in you that is not of him taken out of the way. You don't want it anymore. You're not going to want to hang on to it anymore. And you'll be willing to go through whatever you got to go through to get free. And that means you'll hear the truth. And you will accept it. You will accept the truth. Most importantly, about who Jesus is, and then also about how it relates to you. As you do that, you're not going to see something pretty in you. So what? That's why he tells you to die. I don't know about you, but I mean, I like gardening and stuff like that. I wouldn't say I really like gardening. I like the fruits of gardening, which is like a nice, yummy tomato. You take that little tomato seed, that little tomato seed doesn't look yummy to me. I don't know about you. I mean, I look at that and I'm like, what's that? I mean, but for the fact that somebody had a label on it saying it was a tomato seed, I'd have no idea what it was, and I'd pass by it and think nothing of it. But you plant that tomato seed and it brings forth a nice, ripe beefsteak tomato that I can put on my burger or cut up and have in a salad or whatever. Whoo, I like that. I like that. Well, you're the stinking seed. You're ugly. You don't look like much. Nobody would ever think, boy, this is really precious. I mean, I know you guys. And I know me. There's nothing precious about that which we're giving up. Nothing precious at all. But that which God promises, now that's something precious. That's something worth fighting for. That's something worth giving everything up for. Amen?
Steve sees me coming, so he turns the mic off. Praise the Lord.
Praise.
Even got a card here that says I'm number two. Yeah, I was thinking. I usually get in trouble when I think, but this time I think I was thinking something right. I want you to think of for a minute of butterfly. One of the most beautiful butterflies is the monarch butterfly. A beautiful butterfly. Would you all agree with that? Amen. Let it be known for those that are listening by tape, they agreed. And this beautiful butterfly goes and drops an egg. And you can't wait to see this egg hatch, because you know it's going to look just like that butterfly. And then what happens? The egg hatches and it's an ugly caterpillar. A worm. Time passes. That ugly caterpillar goes through its life, eating and drinking and making itself fat. Until one day an urge hits it. It builds himself a cocoon. And goes inside that cocoon. And for all practical purposes, dies. And time passes. And it's not the only cocoon, because there are thousands of these cocoons. And then, as though a bell strikes, a trumpet blows, they all begin to open. And what emerges are beautiful monarch butterflies. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And at one point he said, let us create man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man after his own image, after his own likeness. Male and female created he them. And he must have really screwed up, because they all come out looking like worms. Didn't look like him at all. See, God looks at things differently than you and I do. We look at the worm, but God looks at the butterfly. When you were born into this life, you're like that caterpillar. And God sees the butterfly. We look at each other, we see a bunch of worms. Ugly worms, like me. Fat and ugly, and I can't even be fat evenly. I gotta screw it up more ways than one. I'm fat on one side, skinny on the other. What's that do? Can't get any more screwed up than that. I got truck tire on the right and a Volkswagen tire on the left. Can I say? But one of these days, I'm going to go in that cocoon. And when I come out of that cocoon, I ain't going to look like this. And it's going to be at the sound of a trump. When all of those in Christ have come up out of the dead in the new bodies that God has for them. And those that yet remain and are alive in Christ shall put off these bodies and put on the incorruptible new bodies. And then we'll see what God saw all along. But you will never see it if you're not willing to go into that cocoon. As long as you're wanting to protect your life and protect your attitudes and protect your thoughts and justify yourself and stand there in your self-righteous ways, you'll never enter that cocoon and come out a butterfly. You'll just stay there and rot. this week we have an opportunity. And that opportunity is a great opportunity. I'm hoping all will pass through it and come to the place God wants them. Amen.
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 This world is full of doubt. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. That's all I can say. Thank you, Lord. Father, please have mercy and grace on us yet again. Amen.
Streets be filled with joy. They just discovered it. Lord.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.